Today we're building an urban echo style pad arrangement in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB vibes. And right away, let's get the mindset correct. This is not about making the biggest, prettiest pad possible. In drum and bass, the pad has a job. It needs to create mood, push tension, support the transition, and leave space for the kick, snare, break edits, and bassline to do their thing. Think of it as atmosphere with purpose. More like a moving shadow than a giant blanket. So the goal in this lesson is to build a two-layer pad system that feels cinematic, humid, a little haunted, and very urban. Something with that VHS ghost, warehouse haze, rainy alleyway energy. But we're going to arrange it in a way that still hits hard. Start simple. On one MIDI track, load a stock synth like Waveedable, Analog, or Drift. If you want a clean starting point, go for two saw oscillators with a little detune. If you want something a bit more unstable and old machine sounding, Drift is great. Waveedable is also a strong choice if you want to shape movement a little more precisely. Keep the source simple on purpose. That's one of the big DNB lessons here. In this genre, a complicated sound can become a problem fast. A simple source is easier to control, easier to automate, and easier to make fit around the drums. For the chord itself, don't overthink it. A minor 7, minor 9, suspended chord, or even a two-note voicing can be enough. Darker jungle and old-school DNB often work best when harmony is just suggesting a mood, not screaming the whole story. If the bass is already busy, the pad should stay elegant and restrained. Now shape the envelope. You want a pad that breathes, not one that just sits there like a static block of sound. Set a shortish attack so it doesn't click. Maybe around 20 to 80 milliseconds. Then give it a decay and release that lets it bloom a little. A good starting point is a couple of seconds of decay, and a release anywhere from around 1.5 to 6 seconds, depending on whether you want it to stay lush or get out of the way more quickly. Here's a useful teacher tip. In DNB, note length is part of arrangement, not just sound design. If you want tension before the drop, use shorter pad hits or tighter chord lengths instead of relying only on long sustain. Sometimes the answer is not more reverb. Sometimes it's a more intentional MIDI clip. So let's create two clips early in the project. One is your intro or build-up pad. The other is your drop support version. Same sound source, different note lengths and automation. That way you're already thinking like an arranger instead of a loop designer. Now add motion. This is where the pad starts to feel alive. If you're using Waveedable, try a slow LFO on Waveedable position or filter cutoff. If you're on Analog or Drift, use gentle oscillator drift and subtle filter movement. The key word is subtle. We want motion, not wobble for its own sake. A good range for slow modulation is somewhere around 0.05 to 0.25 Hz. That gives you slow movement that feels like fog shifting, not a synth trying to dance on top of the groove. Add chorus ensemble after the instrument if the pad needs more width or soft shimmer. Keep it restrained. Too much chorus and the pad starts sounding cheesy or blurry. A little bit of movement goes a long way. If the sound feels too clean, add a touch of saturator before the chorus. Just a few dB of drive can make it feel more worn, warmer, and more sampled. That tiny bit of edge is very useful for old-school jungle textures. It gives you that signature imperfection. And honestly, that imperfection is part of the vibe. Old records and older hardware were never perfectly polished, and that instability is often what makes the sound feel alive. Now let's put the pad in the mix properly. Add EQ 8 after the synth and carve out space. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on how much low mid energy the patch has. If the pad clouds the snare or bass, dip a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. And if it pokes out too hard in the upper mids, tame somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. This is one of those places where DNB discipline really matters. The sub and kick need to stay dominant. Pads should almost never own the low end. If they do, your track starts feeling smaller even though the pad sounds bigger in solo. Also, check the stereo width with utility. Wide is good, but only if the center still has strength. Try reducing width to around 70 to 90% if the pad feels too vague. And don't forget to check mono compatibility. A pad can sound huge in stereo and then basically disappear when summed down. Hit mono periodically and make sure the emotional core still survives. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is really where the urban echo idea comes alive. Think in phrases, not just loops. A practical arrangement might look like this. Filtered pad intro for the first 8 to 16 bars, then a gradual opening as the break edits start coming in. Before the drop, you can use shorter chord hits or inversions to build tension. During the drop, the pad should usually back off and become a response element rather than a full sustained bed. Then in the breakdown, bring it back bigger, wider, and wetter. Finally, for the outro, strip it down again so the track stays DJ-friendly. That's the whole game. Intro, tension, drop support, breakdown, outro. The pad should change behavior depending on section. One really useful trick in jungle is to make the pad interact with the break. Don't just let it float over the top. Let it hit on phrase boundaries. Let it answer the snare fill. Let it breathe around the chop. If your drum loop is busy, the pad can live in the spaces the drums are not using. That's the energy lanes idea. Drums and bass own one lane. Pad owns another lane. If the break is busy in the mids, let the pad live thinner and higher. If the bass line is animated, make the pad more static and filtered. That separation is what keeps the mix clean. Now we automate. This is where the track starts feeling intentional. Use auto filter to sweep the pad open slowly across a section. Maybe start dark around 200 Hz and open it up over 8 or 16 bars. Use hybrid reverb to increase space in the breakdown, then pull it back at the drop. Use echo to throw little transition tails into the gaps, and use utility to narrow or widen the pad depending on how dense the section is. A classic pre-drop move is, filter opens gradually, reverb rises in the final bar, echo feedback lifts briefly in the last half bar, then everything tightens back down when the drop lands. That kind of movement makes the arrangement feel physical. You're not just changing sounds, you're controlling pressure. And here's a nice intermediate level workflow move. Resample the pad. Once the pad is sounding good, record it to audio. Route it to a new audio track. Capture a few bars. Then chop it up. Reverse a swell. Fade in a tail. Use a slice from the reverb. Maybe even turn one sustained chord into a reverse pickup before a snare fill. This is especially powerful in jungle and old school D&B because sample texture feels authentic. A resampled pad can become atmosphere, a razor, a transition tail, or a gap filler between break edits. And once you print it, you can keep moving instead of endlessly tweaking the synth patch. You can even freeze and flatten, or consolidate the MIDI once you're happy. That speeds up decisions and keeps you focused on arrangement rather than plugin archaeology. Now listen to the pad with the full drum and bass context. This is the part people skip, and it's the part that matters most. Ask yourself, is the pad masking the snare crack? Is it fighting the bass line in the low mids? Is it making the break transients feel smaller? Is the stereo image helping or just making the track feel vague? If it's muddy, cut more around 200 to 400 Hz. If the release is too long, shorten it. If it still feels too big, lower the volume or automate it down during busier sections. If you want a subtle ducking effect, you can use compressor keyed from the kick or snare. Keep it gentle though. You want the drums to breathe, not to create obvious pumping unless that's part of the style. A ratio around 1.5 to 3 to 1, with a moderate attack and release, can be enough to make the pad sit back nicely without sounding obvious. Let's also talk about a few common mistakes. 1. Making the pad too wide and too bright. That usually ends up stealing focus from the snare and hats. Fix it by narrowing the stereo image and controlling the upper mids. 2. Leaving the pad on full sustain through the whole drop. For darker D&B, that often makes the track feel too soft. Use shorter phrases or only let the pad answer specific moments. 3. Too much reverb. Big reverb feels exciting in solo, but in the full track it can kill punch. Keep the drop drier and save the wetness for transitions and breakdowns. 4. Writing a harmony that clashes with the bass. If the bass owns the root, maybe the pad doesn't need to. Try simpler voicings, higher inversions, or remove the root altogether. 5. Not checking in context. A pad that sounds great by itself can wreck the groove. Always listen with drums and bass. Now for some extra flavor ideas if you want the darker, heavier jungle vibe. Try minor 9s, sus 2s, and open 5ths. Those chords sound emotional without getting too crowded. Layer a little noise, vinyl tone, or filtered room texture underneath. Use saturator before reverb to make the tail denser and more lo-fi. Try a band pass sweep for a short radio ghost moment before a drop. Or print a perfect reverb tail to audio and reverse it for a transition swell. You can also make the pad behave more like a sampled break layer by chopping the audio rhythmically. That's a very cool old school move. It makes the harmonic bed feel like part of the percussion system, not just a synth floating in space. Here's a good mini practice for you after this lesson. Build one pad in Ableton Lev 12 using analog, drift, or wavetable. Use a minor 7 or minor 9 chord, at EQ 8, chorus ensemble, and hybrid reverb. Make one 8-bar intro clip with long notes, and one 4-bar tension variation with shorter notes or an inversion. Automate the filter from dark to slightly open over 8 bars. Add one reverb swell in the last bar before the drop. Then resample 4 bars of the pad to audio and chop one reverse swell into a pre-fill or break edit. Finally, check the whole thing against drums and bass and cut some low mids if it gets cloudy. If you do this right, the pad stops being just background. It becomes part of the identity of the tune. It helps the track feel moody, spacious, and properly DNB. So remember the big takeaways. Start simple. Keep the harmony controlled. Use envelopes and filtering to make it breathe. Arrange by phrase. Automate with purpose. Resample for texture. And always check against the break and bass in context. That's the Urban Echo mindset. Atmosphere with intent. Jungle energy with discipline. And when you get that balance right, the whole track starts to feel bigger without ever losing its punch.